Hey, I'm Chris Maloney. I'm pastor of Multiplication and Growth here at Crosspoint. So glad you guys are here this morning. Vince was kind of leaving me out there on a limb, so I'll share. So Thursday nights, we have the flags for Food Truck Thursdays. And first off, I don't like heights, but somehow I am the one that goes up on the roof to put them up there, okay? So there's this ladder in a closet back there, and it's scary. The only thing I'm thinking about is don't fall, don't fall, don't fall. Get down as fast as possible. And so Thursday night, it's late. I'm like ready to go home. I haven't eaten yet because I don't like to eat before I get up here. Vince, you know that. You talked about that Thursday. So I thought I shut the door to the roof, and we got here this morning, and Rick, I walked in. Rick, if you haven't met Rick, he's our kind of our building manager, and I look at Rick, and I was like, hey, how are you doing, Rick? And he's like, good. And I thought, usually Rick's like, hey, you know, I'm doing just great. Like, he's always excited. And I was like, shoot, I did something. I know it because Angelo's grinning and Rick is looking at me. And I was like, oh no, I've done something. So I didn't latch it. I was in a hurry. I hate heights. I hate ladders. I don't know why I'm the one on the roof, but I'm the one on the roof. And so I didn't latch it. And obviously it rained like 100 inches this weekend. So I guess we flooded that room this weekend. So you are in the midst of a hot mess right in this very moment. So glad you guys are here for week two of this series, Me and My Hot Mess. Julie kicked it off last week, and she left us with this. This was one of the things that she wanted us to remember. And so if you missed last week, go check it out on the podcast, jump on our website or on our app, and you can find it. This is what Julie said. She said, I know a mess or two when I see one because I have been a mess or two. And I thought all week long, I thought that is exactly right. Right? Like every single one of us, we have been a mess before. We have thought, man, I really made a mess of that, or I really screwed that up. Like I am a hot mess. We've all been there before. And when we start to acknowledge our mess, Julie said that we are just baby steps away from recognizing and acknowledging God in the midst of our mess. And so I know a mess or two because I have been a mess or two. I've left the door open. And not only that, my wife Hannah and I, we graduated from Anderson University just up the road, and we got married when I was going into my senior year of school there, and she was already graduated, and so we lived there right on campus. We had a little house, and now we rent it out to students, and it's been great, but as all of you know, when you've got a house, things break, right? I mean, things break, and so our fridge went out on us. The students had moved out for the summer, and so we went up one afternoon to fix the fridge, and I consider myself somewhat handy. I mean, I'm not like Tim the Tool Man Taylor, but I'm like kind of handy, and so I thought I can do this, and so we hauled this new fridge up, and I thought, I mean, how hard can this be? It's a fridge. You plug it in, you take the old one. I mean, like this is really simple. But I got there and realized that our fridge has a water supply for the ice machine. Okay, that's fine. I've got a tool bag in the truck, and so I thought, okay, this is simple enough. I can undo this, and I can reconnect the new one. So I go downstairs in the basement and hit the quarter turn and turn off the water supply. So I go back up and start to undo this. And it is like a monsoon just spraying water everywhere. This little tiny quarter inch diameter hose is spewing water out at a rate I didn't know was possible. And it is just covering the kitchen. I have a problem with water is really what it comes down to. I don't know what it is. It's covering the kitchen. I am completely soaked. My wife Hannah is laughing hysterically, obviously. Because as anyone who would see that, like that's all that you can do. Like what? I'm like a little kid when you've got a hose in the summer. I'm like putting my thumb over it, trying to like cover it up, but then it's just spewing out in all the different directions. And there's like 2 inches of water on our kitchen floor because I couldn't get it back on. And I thought I was handy, but I'm just not. And so we're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Like, we have got an absolute mess. Our kitchen is covered in water, and we're there, and the students have moved out. All I brought is a tool bag. I don't have paper towels. I don't have towels. What are we going to do? And so Hannah, she runs out to the garage, and she finds a bucket. And I'm like, okay, this is good. This is good. We've got something here. But you got to get the water into the bucket. And so she found the only other thing that we had available to us a snow shovel. And so we are snow shoveling water up and into this bucket, taking it outside, throwing it out. And it was just an absolute disaster. I mean, I know a mess or two when I see one because I've truly been a mess or two. And so there's just this absolute mess. And there's a group of people that I want to talk to this morning. I want to talk to a group of you that maybe that's sort of a picture of your life right now. Maybe you're not leaving doors open when it pours rain, or maybe you're not spilling chili or covering your entire kitchen floor, but whatever your mess is right now, maybe there's something going on in your marriage, or maybe there's something going on with your parents, or maybe you've gotten in trouble with the law. There's something happening in your professional life. Like you would look at me and you would say, Chris, I look good on the outside, but I am an absolute hot mess on the inside. I am somewhat functional, but there is a disaster going on in my life. And this mess, it's so big. Honestly, I don't even know where to begin. Like this mess is so big, I'm not sure that I can even clean it up all by myself. And this mess, if you're really honest, you would say it's your fault. This mess that you find yourself in, if you're going to be really, really dig down deep into it, you would realize this mess really is, it's my fault. I've gotten myself to this point. Maybe you ignored somebody's advice, or maybe you ignored your conscience, or maybe you ignored your parents or your best friend, or maybe you even ignored yourself. You were telling yourself, I shouldn't call him, or I shouldn't go there, or I shouldn't get on that website, and yet you continue to go down that path, and now you're in a mess, and it is your fault. That's who I want to talk to today. You've got this messy part of your life, and you're wondering, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to get out of this mess? And now here's what we said last week. We said that the mess that brings us together, because we all have a mess, the mess that brings us together is also what brings God near to us. And we're going to discover today that hopefully some of you will walk away with this, that your mess, it really does have the potential to bring God near to you. There's this really famous verse in the New Testament. It's John 3:16. You see it on poster boards at football games. People have it on the back of their car. Like everyone, maybe, even if you're not sure where you fall in with the whole church, God, Jesus thing, you've probably heard the words of John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. In other words, God so loved this messy world that God decided to draw near to that messy world. But it's so much better because the verse that comes right after John 3:16, it doesn't get as much airtime. Like it's not tattooed on anybody's arm, but John 3:17, it has something for us that's just so great if you're in the midst of a mess. If you find yourself in a mess that you think, how am I going to get out of this? That I have no idea where to even start. John 3:17, it talks about, It says this, for God did not send his son into the world, and this is a word we're going to come back to time and time again this morning, to condemn. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn. And this is huge, depending on what kind of church you were raised in, depending on what kind of family you grew up in, depending on what your situation is even now in your life and your family, depending on wherever you are, this is huge. And if you're here this morning and you've never heard that, or maybe no one has ever taught you that part of the character of your loving Heavenly Father, maybe you've never experienced this type of love and grace from the people around you that claim to follow this Jesus, I want you to know this morning that Crosspoint is a great place for you to be, because we live this out. And I can say that because I've only been here for a little while, and I have seen it day in and day out, that we really are a place where it's okay to not have it all together, where it's okay to leave the door open and let it pour rain and flood out that, and you walk in and no one's mad, and it's like, hey, it's okay, things happen, because this is a place where it's okay to not have it all together. We live this out because we really truly believe that God did not send his son in this world to condemn the world, but actually to save and to rescue and to deliver us from the messes that we find ourselves in. We know that Jesus, he didn't come to this world to get into the faces of all of us messy people and say, hey, don't you realize the mess you've made? Jesus didn't come and he didn't say, don't you realize the mess you've made of your marriage, of your career, of your academic future? Don't you realize the mess that you have made? But God, actually, through Jesus, he illustrated that God came into this world to enter into the lives of messy people and to rescue them from their mess. The first four books of the New Testament, these are sometimes called the Gospels. And what we find in these first four books is we find the life of Jesus illustrated through the eyes of people that walked with them. And there's four stories that I want to share this morning where Jesus, he shows up in the lives of individuals and he does just this. He doesn't condemn, but he rescues from the mess. And one day Jesus, he's in the temple teaching, and there's these Pharisees, which are the teachers of the law. They're kind of the religious leaders of the day. And these teachers, they drag this woman right in front of Jesus, and she had messed up completely. Maybe you've heard this story before, and maybe even if you didn't grow up in church, you've heard the idea of this woman, this adulterous woman. She's dragged in front of Jesus. She had messed up her marriage. She had messed up someone else's marriage. She had destroyed her reputation completely because they're in a small community. Everyone knows who she is, and now everyone knows what she has done. And after a conversation with her accusers, Jesus, he stands up and he says to this condemned woman, this woman who has totally messed up her life, completely ruined her life, and he says this, I do not condemn you. In other words, I'm not going to sentence you. I'm not going to sentence you to what you actually deserve. And then he says, leave your life of sin. There's another story we find. Jesus, he's walking with this crowd and he looks up to find a tax collector in a tree. And probably the first time Jesus had ever seen a tax collector in a tree. And there's probably a really good reason that this guy is up in this tree. I imagine there's probably bodyguards around the tree because he was a tax collector, which means he was hated, which means he had benefited, he had become wealthy off the backs of his community, of his people. He made a mess of his life from the very beginning by deciding to become a tax collector. So he had overcharged, he had oppressed his own people, and now he was despised and he was hated. And so he's up in a tree because even the hated tax collector wanted to see Jesus. And Jesus, he stops as he's walking along and he looks up at this mess of a man and he says, hey, come down to me because we're going to go to your house today, you messy, messy man. And behind closed doors, Jesus, he looks in the face of this mess of a man and he says, I want you to leave your life of sin. I want you to leave it all behind and I want you to follow me. But before you do that, you've got to pay back all the money that you've taken and you've got to do it with interest. The New Testament, it tells us that Zacchaeus was the guy up in the tree, that his life, it changed dramatically when he met Jesus, when he found himself in the midst of a mess and then he came face to face with Jesus, his life changed completely. He entered into the community, began paying back people even more than he was supposed to pay back because his life had changed so completely. There's another story. Jesus, he's in a part of the country that he wouldn't typically be in. He's in Samaria, and the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't really get along. And so they show up at this well, Jesus and all the guys, the disciples, they show up at this well, and the guys go into town to go and get some supplies, some food, and it's the middle of the day. And this is a desert. It is blisteringly hot. And there's this woman that shows up. And in today's world, it probably would have been a lot, even today, for her to have been married five times. But in that time, the fact that she had been married five times was like, whoa, something has happened here. And the man that she was actually currently living with at the time, it wasn't her husband. This was a woman who had a long history of making messes and trying to correct those messes actually just got messier each every time. And so it's just her and Jesus, and they're there by the well, and she's probably expecting nothing. She's probably expecting this man to just look away, not even look at her, because first of all, he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan, but then also she's a she and he's a he, and so they would never converse. They would never talk to each other. But Jesus, he says to this woman after this conversation, he says, hey, come close to me. Come close to me and I will quench the thirst that you have been trying to quench your entire life. And then at the end of Jesus' life, he has this exchange with another man who was a complete mess. This man had made such a mess of his life that he was actually condemned to die. He was condemned to be crucified. And this man, he had made such a mess that he wasn't even allowed to just serve a sentence in prison. No, he was such a mess that they were like, we can't even trust you in prison. We're going to kill you instead. And so this man, he finds himself condemned to crucifixion. And Jesus, he says to this mess of a man, he says, hey, you're coming with me today. For today, you're going to find yourself in paradise with me. And the amazing thing, the thing that I don't want you to miss is no matter how messy your life is, no matter how deep the mess is, how much of it is your fault, no matter the fact that you told a lie that went into another lie, that you had to cover up with another lie, no matter how deep the hole that you have dug is, regardless of your mess, Jesus offers you something today, just as he offered each and every one of them today. Jesus offers me this today. He offers himself. He offers himself as the solution. And Jesus, he continued all throughout his entire earthly ministry, and he showed us that the clearest picture of his heavenly Father is actually himself. If you want to know what God thinks, read what Jesus says. If you want to know how God would react in a certain situation, look how Jesus reacts in those situations. If you want to know how God would respond, look to Jesus for the response. Jesus, he's as close to understanding God as we will have here on the earth. And the Father, he says that they are one. Jesus and the Father, they are one. And Jesus, the Son of God, he invited messy people to follow him while they were still a mess. Jesus, he invited me while I was still a mess, and he invites you just the same, mess and all. Immediately following the encounter with Jesus and the woman at the well, or the woman who'd been dragged in front of the Temple Mount, immediately after, John, the gospel writer John, one of the guys who had been following Jesus, and he had wrote these things down for us. And when Jesus, he speaks to these people, he says this. He says, I am the light of the world. I can show you the way forward. I can show you how to get out of the mess that you're in. And maybe you've heard that, I am the light of the world, and you probably picture like Christmas with a candle, and maybe that's all your picture of is when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But here's what it means to you if you're in the midst of a mess. Here's what it means to you if you have created a mess that you have no idea how you would even begin to clean it up. You're in a dark place and you need a light. You are in a messy place and you need to know the way out. This is what Jesus offers. And as you watch Jesus navigate his way in and out of the lives of messy people in the New Testament, you can rest assured that your heavenly Father has invited you through Jesus to follow him even in the midst of the mess. Because Jesus, he didn't pull back from messy people. He didn't pull back from messy people. He says, whoever follows me. And I want you to think about something, okay? Because isn't it true that the biggest mess that you found yourself in, you probably weren't following Jesus to get into that mess? Isn't it true that you probably were saying no to your conscience? You were probably saying no to wise advice. If you grew up in church, you were probably ignoring what you knew was probably right. In fact, you probably talked yourself into the worst decisions that you have ever made. You knew you were doing the wrong thing, and yet you still made that mess. And Jesus says, if you follow me, which means if you weren't following Jesus, you probably weren't following when you got into that mess. If you follow me, I can lead you out. I am the light of the world. And the only way to get out of the dark place is to follow someone whose light is greater than your own. And Jesus says, I am that person. I'm the one offering myself as the light to lead you out of the dark place. He makes this promise, actually. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Now I know what you want. I know what you want. When you find yourself in the midst of a mess, I know what you want because it's exactly what I want. When I find myself in the midst of a mess, I want this. I want AAA. right? Right? I mean, that's what we want if we're in the midst of a mess. Like, your tire has blown, you're on the side of a highway, you're in a rush, you don't have time for this. You want to make a call, you want somebody to show up, you want somebody to fix it, you want to shake their hand and say, hey, thanks for coming, I'll give you a call the next time that I need you. But that's not how it works in this real world, in this relationship. You see, your Heavenly Father, He loves you too much to do it this way. You see, His goal is to not simply just fix your mess and to clean things up. No, it's so much bigger than that. He is a Heavenly Father who loves you completely. And every good and perfect and loving father, what do they want? They want a relationship with their children. My wife, Hannah, is actually pregnant, and we're really excited. We're anticipating a baby girl in October, and I'm not like a father yet, but I kind of am. I actually got a Father's Day present. It was pretty cool. It wasn't underwear. It was even better than that. And it's crazy. Like, I'm not a dad yet, but right now, I desperately, Hannah's been feeling her move all the time right now. Like, basically, anytime she tries to fall asleep, baby just starts moving. Moms, you probably have been there before. Like, anytime she lays down. And so I have just been desperately trying to just feel her move. I had so badly just want to feel her move just once. And the type of relationship that I want to have with my daughter, it's so much more important to have this relationship rather than to have good behavior. I want to have the type of relationship that so many of you have modeled for me with your children. I want to have that type of relationship. And look, your Heavenly Father, He is a good and perfect and loving Heavenly Father. And your behavior, it's important, but it is not the most important thing. There is so much more important to any father than just behavior. It's a relationship, right, dads? Like, that's what we want. So much more than just good behavior. We want to have a relationship. We'd rather have imperfect children but a great relationship than perfect children who never want to talk to us. Your behavior, it's important, but it's not the most important thing to your Heavenly Father. What's most important is a personal and intimate relationship with Him through the person that made that possible, through Jesus. You see, I want to fix. I want to make a call. I want somebody to show up, and I want to shake their hand and say thanks, and then be like, hey, I'm going to call you the next time that I need you. But your Heavenly Father, he says, I want so much more than just that. He says to me, Chris, I want so much more than to just fix your messes. I want a relationship with you. And what is a relationship with Jesus? And what does it actually mean to follow Jesus? It's what we talk about all the time here at Crosspoint. It's what we introduce you through our class Starting Point. It's what we talk about with your children in Upstreet and Area 56. And it's what we talk about in our small groups. It's a relationship. It's a process. When Jesus said, follow me, he was saying, and he was referring to what he said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on a sand. Jesus, he could have said it like this. Everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice will end up in a mess. You see, following Jesus, it begins with this declaration, and it requires a ton of humility. You see, following Jesus, it requires this. It requires you to say, God, I have built my house on the sand and I am reaping what I have sown. God, I've built my finances. I built my marriage, my relationships, my academic pursuits, my profession. I've built everything in my life on the sand and now it is tumbling down around me. And I'm tempted to want to treat you, God, like AAA. I'm tempted to just want to call and get a fix and then be done with you. But I need the thing that you offer, that Jesus offered to those four individuals in those four stories, that Jesus, he offered to me and he offers to you, himself. You need Jesus in the midst of the mess. Go ahead and grab your connection card, actually. On the back are a few next steps that I'd love for you to follow along. Maybe this is your next step this week. Maybe this is your next step. That I will work to stop treating my loving Heavenly Father like AAA and begin to lean closer into relationship with him. You see, following Jesus is agreeing what Jesus said. Agreeing with what Jesus said when he said that everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice, every single person ahead of time decides, yes, I might not have read that yet, but yes, Jesus, if you said it, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do it. I pre-decided that I am following you. I'm not going to sit back and consider and ask for advice anymore. No, I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to surrender my decision-making abilities to you. And the answer is yes. Jesus, what do you want? Yes, I'll do it. Yes. Anyone, Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds their house on a solid rock. And here's the thing that we miss. And here's the thing that there's no shortcut for. It's this word builds. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds. I don't know if you've ever built a house, but it takes time. It's a process. This is not just an overnight fix. So maybe this is your next step with where you are right now, that I'm going to pause and remember that cleaning the mess that I'm in, it's a process. And I'm going to commit to trust God through that process. You see, the messes that you've made, there is no quick fix. You see, we want that. We want a quick fix. I want a quick fix. But you would actually be right back in the same situation if you just had a quick fix. Right, parents? If you've ever gone and cleaned up a mess, what happens 5 minutes later? The mess is just, it's back again. And your Heavenly Father, He's a good Father, and He desires so much more than to just simply fix your mess. And Jesus, he said, I'm going to tell you how to get out. I'm going to tell you how to follow the light of the world. I'm going to tell you how to live a life with fewer regrets and so much better decisions. And I want you to begin to build your life. I want to begin the process of building your life, your finances, your relationship, your marriage, your parenting, your friendships. I want you to begin building those areas of your life around my teaching, Jesus says. And if you do, he says, I will lead you out of the mess that you find yourself in. Everyone who hears my words and puts them into practice, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down. Maybe some of you could sing the song. And the streams rose and the winds blew. And they beat against the house. But it did not fall because its foundation was firm on the rock. And here's the thing that I don't want you to miss this morning. And you may not respond, but you need to know this, okay? You can't pray your way out of a mess that you have behaved your way into. You can't pray. You can't confess. There's no silver bullet. There's no magic prayer. There's no magic words. And that's not because God doesn't care. He cares so much that 2,000 years ago, He sent His Son, Jesus. And He's shown this light bright enough that if you chose to follow it, you could have avoided the current mess that you find yourself in. It was avoidable, but when you stepped into that mess, you probably weren't following Jesus, because I know that because I wasn't following Jesus either. And your Heavenly Father, He invites you to follow Jesus out. You can't pray your way out of a mess that you behaved your way into, but you can follow your way out of the mess. And God, He's going to meet you in the mess, because we're going to come back to this word that He does not condemn you. He sees your mess as an opportunity for you to invite Him in. And I'll tell you how else we know this. I can't prove this, but if you look around when I say this next thing, you might see some heads nodding, because there are going to be people sitting in these seats all around this room that they would say right now that this was their story, that I messed up. I gave up, I looked up, and God, He showed up. I messed up, I gave up, I looked up, and God, He showed up. This is the story every single baptism that we see. This is the story. If I were to hand this mic to any single one of you who's sitting in the seats, if this is your story, you would share these words over and over again. This is the story of our volunteer team, of our staff team, of all of our small group leaders and our kids' environments. And you see, we are messes who have been redeemed from our mess. And we didn't get redeemed overnight and with some kind of magic prayer. No, God, he showed up and he taught us how to follow his son. And once upon a time, something, maybe something so deep, so unfixable, a hole that you thought you could never find your way out of, maybe you found yourself in the midst and you thought, I can't fix this. And so you gave up and you looked up and God, he showed up. You see, it takes the mess sometimes. It takes the mess to arrange the meeting. If it had not been for the mess, there probably wouldn't have been the personal meeting between you and Jesus. If I were to hand the mic to so many of you would say these words right here. It took the mess that I was in. It took the mess that I was in to arrange the meeting. You see, God maybe was just an idea until then. Maybe God was just the God of your grandmother or the church God or the Sunday school God. It wasn't a personal God. But as a result of the mess, as a result of giving up and throwing your hands up and looking up, God, he showed up. And in the midst of the mess, God became more personal than he had ever been before. And because that's so many of your story, because that's my story, because that's what Jesus did in their lives, I'm going to ask all of us to do something that Jesus, he asked Matthew to do, and he asked Zacchaeus to do, and he asked the woman at the well. And it might be uncomfortable, but I'm going to ask this morning for you to publicly identify as a mess who may be ready to follow Jesus out of that mess. And yes, when we do this, some people might stare, they might turn around and look and wonder, but I want to ask you this morning that if you have found yourself in the midst of a mess that you have no way to get out, I'm going to ask you just to raise a hand. And here's why. And here's why it's so powerful. You see, the reason that you've heard the name Matthew maybe before, the reason that there's a gospel of Matthew, there's this letter, is because Jesus, he one day walked up to this tax collector's booth. And he walked up to this guy, Matthew, and everyone's looking, everybody's around, and everyone knows who Matthew is, and everyone knows the reputation of Matthew, and everyone knows who Jesus is, and knows what Jesus stands for. And Jesus says, Matthew, I want you to follow me. And everybody knew who Matthew was. He knew the mess of a man that Matthew was. And there's this tension. But Matthew, he stood up and he followed Jesus. And one day when Jesus, he stopped and he looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree, and everybody knew Zacchaeus. Everybody knew what he stood for. Everyone knew what a mess of a man Zacchaeus was. And Jesus, he looked up and he said, I want you to follow me. We're going to go to your house today. And the woman at the well, she's the champion in all of this. Because the New Testament, it tells us in John in chapter 4 that when she recognized who Jesus was, when she realized that this may be the Messiah that we have been waiting for, the one that we have heard about for centuries, that this might be the one, she dropped the thing that was most valuable to her right there. And she ran back into town. She dropped her water jar. This was a life and death instrument. And she turned, she hurried back, she gathered the village elders, and she looks at these guys, she looks at them in the face, and she says, I just met a man who, like you, knows everything about me. But unlike you, he didn't condemn me. Could this be the one that we have waited for? And she publicly identified with Jesus. She publicly stood up with Jesus in front of a group of people that had no respect for her. And Jesus, he wasn't even in the city yet. And so let's all stand while I run through these questions. There's one of these questions, if it hits you right in the chest this morning, I just want you to raise a hand up. If you're here today and you would say, yep, I have been a mess. Chris, I have found myself at the bottom of a hole looking for a way out before. I just want you to raise a hand. If you're here this morning and you're just tired of the mess that surrounds you, if you're looking for a way out of the darkness, out of the hole that you have found yourself in, if you're ready to get past this AAA mindset of following God, following this God who sent his only son, not to condemn you, but to lead you out of the darkness. If you're ready to move into a personal relationship with your heavenly Father through Jesus, if you would say this, that, you know what, Chris, you're talking to me. I am ready to publicly admit that I have messed up, but I'm ready to follow Jesus out of that mess. If he's really the light of the world, if he could really lead me out of the mess that I find myself into, if you're looking up, if you're hoping that God is going to show up, I want you just to raise a hand up. If that's where you find yourself this morning, this is so great, guys, because Jesus, he is the way out of the mess. He's the way out. He's how I found myself out of the mess, and he can lead you to out of the mess, because we've all been one. So let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Matthew and for his courage and the woman at the well and for her courage and Zacchaeus and Peter and the Apostle Paul and my mom and my dad and my small group leaders and the people that we know, the people who've inspired us, the people who maybe have walked with us, who have warned us, who have sacrificed for us. God, I pray right now that in this moment, for the men, the women, the students in this room that raise a hand, that this would be a solemn moment this morning. That it wouldn't just simply be a display, that it wouldn't be a response out of guilt or out of emotion, God, but this would be the beginning of a first step out of the mess, God, because we have all been a mess. We have all found ourselves in the midst of a hole that we don't even know how to begin to climb out of. But God, you sent your son Jesus to lead us, to shine a light out of the darkness. Father, I pray that this would be the beginning of a first steps, not just out of the mess, but into a genuine relationship with the Savior of the world, with your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.